I think it's mid-month, he'll be going back to the doctor, and they'll be setting a date for surgery for him. So let's remember Billy and his family in our prayers. In the book of Luke, this morning, the 23rd chapter is where we'll be reading from. And we ask that you pray for us and just remember that song that they just sang, that no matter how big the mountain looks in front of you right now, God is bigger than that mountain. And he can move to those mountains out of our way. There's mountains that he can move, but there's also mountains we can move. And I believe God wants us to do our part along this journey as well. So in the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter, go with me if you would, down to verses 39 through 43. 39 through 43. Sounds like everybody's found it. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And stop reading with that 43rd verse. And while you pray, I'd like to bring you a message entitled, Hearing the Lord's Words. Hearing the Lord's Words. Scripture gives us record that when Christ was crucified on Calvary's hill, that there were, and this is a debatable subject, but there were two malefactors and two thieves that were crucified with him. I know we say that it was three. It was at minimum of three of them, but could have possibly been five that were crucified on the day that Jesus was crucified. Two thieves, two malefactors, and Christ. He was still the man in the middle. Regardless if there was two others or four others, that's not the significant point. The significant point of this whole event was that while Christ was going through the trials and going there up Calvary's hill, and even at the time of being crucified, that there was someone that was listening to every word that he said. A man that was listening and to the words and seeing the reaction of the crowd that was there before them. This man was there. He was hanged just like our Lord and Savior was, and just like the others that were crucified on that day. But this man heard words that were different, that opened his eyes and let him see and hear the words. We have no history that their paths had ever crossed before. We have no history that he was ever in a church service. But this day, he heard the words of Christ. And today, you can hear the words of Christ speak to your heart as well. This man heard him when he said there in verses 28 and 29, when he told the daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. He heard the words that when he was on trial, no doubt, he heard him say, when they asked him, art thou king of the Jews? His reply was, thou sayest. He heard the mob cry out, release unto us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And no doubt, you know, when you're in trouble, you want everybody to be in trouble. He may have even cried out, crucify him along with the others. But there came a time when he began to ponder on the words of Christ. He began to ponder, Brother Mark, when he heard the Lord cry out from the cross, as he says in John the 19th chapter, "Woman, behold thy son," that he was calling attention to his mother. Or that, as he says in John 19 and 28, that I thirst. Or that when he heard him cry out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or as he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He heard this man in his last moments upon this earth. He heard the relationship when he cried out to his Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. He heard the message that I am the King of the Jews. I am the one that came to release those that were under the bondage of sin. But he also heard the world cry out, he's a sinner. He deserves to be crucified. And in those words that he heard, or even in the 35th verse, and the rulers also which derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Just like today, we hear both messages. There's still a few of us that lift up the name of Jesus Christ and say he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But there's a world that's out there, Brother Lloyd, to your teaching in Sunday school, that is crying out, we are gods within ourselves. We don't need a higher power. We have what we need within ourselves. He heard mixed messages, and he had to choose which one he would believe. Today you have heard different messages from the world. You've heard the message of Christ, and you've also heard them speak that we don't need a God, that only those that are weak individuals need a so-called God that they can depend upon. Today you can call me whatever you may wish, but I call upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as my Lord and my Savior. It doesn't matter what the world says. I know what he says. And not just in word, but in spirit. Even if I didn't have the word, I have the spirit that lets me know that there is a God sitting on the throne in heaven, watching over each and every one of us with angels to protect us and to keep us until the day that we draw our last breath. He witnessed Christ's life in a matter of just a couple days. He witnessed all of the attacks, and he witnessed the words that Jesus spoke. And he had to take both sides and waited in his own life, just like everybody else. There was some that already come to conclusion and said, he's not who he said he was, because he's being crucified as a blasphemer. There are some that said he was a criminal and he's being crucified, which he so rightly deserves. He's misled so many people. He is a false prophet, is what some of them said. But this man took in the whole story of what was happening there prior to and even at the time of crucifixion on Calvary's hill. He seen him stumble as they was going up Golgotha's mountain, and they took the cross and placed it upon the Cyrenian to carry it. He seen him when he was at his strongest, and he saw him when he was at his weakest. But he still held on to the message that I am the Son of God. Even there in the jailhouse, if you'll have it, and even there on the cross of Calvary, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard him speak. And when he heard him speak, it got his attention. It doesn't matter how big the congregation is. When the Lord speaks, he'll get your attention. He will get your attention. I don't know, there was probably maybe 30 or 40 people in the house of the Lord the night that I got saved. But even in the midst of that, at that time, I thought was a big congregation. And he was speaking to the church through the Spirit, through the Word of God. It came and it got my attention. And I, like these, was faced with a decision. Do I believe what the preacher is preaching, or do I stay with what the devil is speaking? Because how many of us realize when God is speaking to your heart, the devil is also speaking to your heart? The Lord says you need to be saved. The devil will tell you you're all right. The Lord says you need to be saved. The devil will tell you wait till another time. Or if you get saved, you'll lose all the friends you've got. And the devil will tell you enough of the truth to get your attention. He didn't know I only had about two. That was about it. But he'll tell you you'll lose everything. And we have to weigh within our own hearts. Do we believe the devil or do we believe God? This man heard the Lord speak and he witnessed his life at the very end. Brother Les, when he heard the Lord speak, Christ wasn't counting on himself. He was counting on his Father. He was saying, God, Father, help me. At my hour, when I'm about to die, I have said this many times over the years that the Lord wasn't happy about Matthew 25. He was excited about Matthew 28. He wasn't excited about the crucifixion and the trials. He was looking forward to the day when he would get up from the grave and be able to go back to the Father which was in heaven. He witnessed Christ's life in just a few days. Can I declare to you this morning, you don't have to be raised in church. You don't have to go to church every Sunday for God to get your attention. He can get your attention when he speaks just a few words. See, I like this about our Lord when he was here. He was a man of few words. You know, will thou be made whole? I can give you a drink where you'll never thirst again. He could speak a lot in just a few words that he spoke. I still like that song, but I believe the sweetest words he ever said was, I forgive. I forgive. This man got to see the life of Christ in just a few days. And when he heard the word, see if this doesn't come back and open your memory. As the one malefactor was crying out, if thou be Christ, save yourself and us. He wasn't worried about Christ delivering himself. He was worried about his own skin. He wanted to be delivered. He was saying, hey, I hope you are who you say you are. And if you really are who you say you are, deliver yourself and me. Because I don't want to die. He was a criminal. I don't want to die. So deliver yourself. But as the first man heard the words of Christ, and he heard this other malefactor speaking against Christ, he said, don't you fear God? See, prior to this point, We have no record that this man ever feared God. But when he heard the words of Christ, there was a fear that was sparked in his heart and mind. And I thought about this, and it came to my house that when I heard the message of God, there was a fear that came into my life. A fear that if I died without Christ, hell would be my eternal home. This man had a fear that the message brought to him. You say, but there was no message. There was a message that Christ was preaching even as he was about to die. He was preaching and teaching his whole life summed up in just a few moments of time. And he said unto him, don't you fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? See, he realized where he was at and where this other malefactor was at. We're dying. We are about to die. And you are there provoking the one that is hanging here on the cross, that you heard his words just like I heard his words. And don't you come to the conclusion that he is different than what we are? He's different. How many of you know today there's a difference in a born-again child of God than there is in the world? He heard these words and he said, you and I deserve. That's what he says in verse 41. We deserve what we're getting. If every one of us got what we deserve today, we all would have died and went to hell for eternity. Because that's what we deserve. On a Sunday morning in a quiet Baptist church, how many of you are thankful we don't get what we deserve? But we're getting what God has given to us. I don't have to worry about death and hell because of a man called Jesus Christ. I've been set free. He said our deeds are evil and we deserve to die. What he was saying is, you ought to shut up and leave him alone. And then he goes even further. Because in verse 41, he says, we get what we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. How many of us on a Sunday morning would say, yes, and if I was hanging there, I would be able to say the same thing. I'm getting what I deserve. You are getting what you deserve. People say, God would send us to hell. God has not sent the first one to hell, except for the devil and his angels and the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And even he chose. If we go to hell, it's because we chose to go to hell. But the greatest achievement I have in my life is that I chose the words of Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior. He says, look at this man in verse 41. He recognized that Christ was innocent and had lived a sinless life here upon this earth. He'd done nothing to deserve what he was getting there at the cross. But you know, it wasn't the world, or let me retract that. It wasn't the kings and the church and the religious folks that put Christ on the cross. You read your Bibles, from the foundation of the world, it was predetermined that in the process of time, a man, a Messiah, would come and pay the sin debt of all humanity. It wasn't the Roman guards that crucified him. Christ laid down his life that you and I could have life, and not just have any life, but have an abundant life. In a world filled with trouble on over every hand, I have an abundant life because I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Even in the midst of a storm, I can look up and say, I am blessed because I have someone who has sailed this way before and he knows the way. In the midst of trouble and trials, I can look up and say, God, I don't know what to do next, but I give it to you, and I know you will direct my every path. He said, Christ is innocent. We are guilty. We deserve to die, but this man has done nothing to deserve death. But yet here we are, all of us crucified. But I want you to go back and remember, these thieves and these malefactors did not suffer like Christ did. They beat him until he was even at the point of not being able to be recognized. They put the crown of thorns upon his head, the spear that pierced his side. See, they tried to kill the King of Kings and still couldn't kill him. You say, but he died. It wasn't the Roman government that killed him. He said, I lay down my life that you might have life. And the thief heard all this. He heard all this that was there. And finally, he summed it all up. Even though the world was crying out, crucify, crucify, and they walked by the cross wagging their heads and saying unto him, if you be who you say you was, deliver yourself. You said you was a king. Why are you not sitting upon a throne? See, they thought he was going to take the Roman Empire. But he had an empire that's bigger than the Roman Empire. He's got a kingdom today that he left to come and die for you and for me. This man cried out after he heard the message and he examined his life. He cried out. One of the verses in the Bible that I believe that ought to grasp every one of our hearts. He realized where he was at. And he cried out, Lord, rememberest me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, that doesn't sound like much of a prayer. How many of you remember the prayer that you prayed when you asked God to save you? I remember mine was only probably two words. Please, three, forgive me. Please forgive me. Because I realized my way was going to take me to hell. And the message that I just heard, and you've heard me say this many times, it wasn't the message. I can't tell you where the preacher read from. I can't tell you what he preached on. But the message God brought to my heart. And it didn't just make me want to turn over a leaf. It made me want to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord for all eternity. Lord, remember me when you go or come into thy kingdom. See, he paid attention to the words that Christ spoke. And he said, when you go into your kingdom, will you remember me? Folks, God remembers everyone that calls out for forgiveness. He knows his children. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He knows every cry that you've made, moms and dads, upon your bed. He knows the tears that have been shed by every one of you that are going through a hard time, and especially those of you today that have never accepted the Lord as your Savior. How many of us can testify on this Sunday morning, before I got saved, after condemnation came in my life, there were tears that I shed on my pillow because I was afraid. God, if I die or you come before I get back to church, I'll spend eternity in hell. I realized that, Jim Holcomb. And I wasn't happy with where I was at. I wanted to be saved. How many of you wanted to be saved? I believe everybody wants to be saved. Nobody wants to go to hell. It's not the place that the world says it is. It's a place of torments. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where everybody there hates the others. Heaven is a place of love. Can you imagine when we get there what it's going to be like? You know, sometimes we have visions of what it might be like, but I don't believe it's really ever entered into the hearts of man what it's really going to be like. I get to see loved ones that's outstripped me and gone on. I get to see the apostles and all the saints of old. But most of all, I get to see the one that cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I get to bow at the foot of the throne of God and worship Him for all eternity. Some might question, what are you going to worship Him? How are you going to worship Him? The Bible says that there will be singing and shouting around the throne of God. Some of you strict Baptists that don't care much for shouting, you better get a change of attitude. Because there's going to be folks shouting around the throne of God. You say, what have they got to shout about? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I was lost and on my way to hell. But like this man there on the cross, I cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then this man got a response. I don't know if he was truly expecting this. He heard the words of Christ say to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You say, he was going to die. You know he was going to die that day. The Lord was saying, in our words today, He was saying, you are saved. You are saved by your faith. I thought about this morning driving to church, and anybody almost had a spell as you was the Lord come down in your place where you was at? How many of you think that that man had a church service on the cross? I believe he was happy. I deserve to die, but now the Lord says, I get to go to paradise. And you say, how did he know about paradise? Paradise was taught throughout the old Bible from the beginning all the way up to this point. Paradise, he knew where that was at because there was only two places that held man's soul. And you bear with me and we can talk after church. But prior to Christ coming, when you died, you either went to Sheol or hell, or you went to paradise. Hell was for all the non-believers. Paradise was for those that died looking for the Lord to come, the Messiah to come in the future. And I'll remind you that when Christ got up on the third and appointed morning, many of the folks that was in paradise, Bible says many of the saints arose also. Paradise, you know what it did? Paradise emptied out. And they went to their eternal paradise. That's why I love that song. We don't sing it very often, that when Christ died, the blood went backwards and it also flowed forward. Hallelujah. I didn't come believing in a Messiah to come. I come believing in a Messiah that had come, had died, and had arose on a third and appointed day that I could be saved. And his blood covered my sins just like it covered our forefathers' sins. Today, I am saved because I heard the message. I heard the words of Christ. I heard his words when he spoke sweet peace to my soul. I heard it. And I also received the greatest news that you can ever receive. How many of you have had good things happen to you along life's journey? And you've heard a lot of good news along the way, right? But the greatest news I've ever heard was the Lord speak peace. You say, what did he say? I did not hear with an audible ear or voice, but what I heard was the burden was lifted out of my heart and soul. I believe he spoke like he did to the one that was possessed by the demon. I rebuke you. Come out. And you say, well, did you have a bunch of demons? I had a heart full of the devil. You say, Roger, you was young. There's no way that you could have been that bad. Every one of us, when we come to the age of accountability, what the Lord does is we have an opportunity. We get to choose which one will serve. And if you're not serving God, you are serving the devil. Lloyd mentioned it in Sunday school this morning about the devil having a church. The devil's got many churches. He's got those that are bona fide, just devil worshipers. I seen one just a couple weeks ago down there where we lived at. I stopped to get gas and she got out and she had all kinds of demonic things on her car and tats on her arms and her neck and they were of demons. Folks, nobody in their right mind wants to worship the devil. Because you will spend an eternity in a place of fire and brimstone. But he's also got some that are not as profound as that. He's got some that look like God's church. But the message is this. It's not what God is, it's what you are. And folks, today on this Sunday morning, I will confess, without God, I am nothing. I am nothing without God. But with God, and that just sends a jolt through me. With God, I am a son of the living God. Because I heard the words and I believed upon them and I asked for forgiveness like this man did. You know what happened to him? I could just see him. And I don't do this to offend anybody, but he was crucified. He was all stretched out. But when he heard those words, I believe he got one of those Holy Ghost shakes. Anybody ever seen anybody have a Holy Ghost shake? You say, Roger, this Baptist, we don't believe in dancing. Well, what are you going to do with David when he danced before the Lord? Right? Some of you say, Roger, you're just all over the place. I believe there is a thing that when the Holy Ghost comes over you, you cannot be still. Amen? I've seen preachers jump. I've seen lay members jump. I've seen them run in the Lord around the house. People say, all that stuff is non-conventional and it's not of God. The Bible says if it's of the Spirit, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Who am I to question God? You say, have you ever ran? No. I ran from God. Let me close this morning. This man heard the words. You may not have been raised in church, and you never heard the words. I believe, and I'm just telling you Roger's belief, I believe this was the first introduction of this man to Christ. And the reason why I say that is if he'd had a previous introduction, he may have not been crucified, because he would have changed his life. How many of you know God changes your life? Amen. Amen. You won't run with the same crowd. You won't act the same. You won't be the same. You're a new creature. This man was different. I believe that other man, we have no words in the Bible when, you know, and I'll just be blunt. What he was saying to him that was railing against Christ, he was saying, just shut up. You be quiet over there. We're getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong. But yet they crucified him. But yet they did not crucify him. He gave his life. He gave his life so that you and I could hear his words. And his words were, I came to give my life that you might have life. I came to be crucified. I came to lay it down, but don't worry about me, Sister Sharon, because on that third and appointed day, I will arise again. And I will go back to my Father who sent me, and we will send a message throughout the world that he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Cody sung that the other night. That's why Christ came. Have you heard his words today? Have you heard his words? Sharon, get us a song. Have you heard his words speak to your heart? Speak to your heart and reveal to you that he's not just one of the ways, but he is the only way. I said just a moment ago, you may not have been raised in church, or you may have been raised in church, but you have never asked the Lord to forgive you. That's what that thief was saying. Lord, rememberest thou me? He was saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of all my wrongdoings. Because I hear your words and I believe upon you. This dying man wasn't asking for deliverance from the cross. He wasn't asking to be set free. He was saying, when you go into your kingdom, I know I'm about to die. When you go into your kingdom, will you remember that poor little thief that hung there next to you on the cross? Because he knew this wasn't just any man. This was the Lord himself. God's only begotten Son that was about to take his last breath and leave this world. And this man didn't want to lose out on this time to accept him before it was too late. Today I ask you, have you heard the words of God speak to your life? Are you at a place where you've wept on your pillow? Or maybe even in a church service that you've wept, knowing that you need the Lord and you've never accepted him. I can't emphasize enough that this man was about to die. Brother Ron Ball, every one of us, I'm looking at a congregation that is dying. You say, but there's young people here. We're all dying. We're all proceeding toward death. Mine might come today. How many of you realize yours might come today? How many of you are ready if it does come today? If it comes today, and when my body lies here in front of the church, in my coffin, don't you go around weeping for me as one that had no hope. I left here with more than hope. I left here with a promise. Because I live, ye shall live also. I will be part of that first resurrection. Some of you today have never made that profession of faith. And if the Lord was to call you today, the only words we could say is, I hope somewhere before they took their last breath, God gave them another opportunity. But that's so marginal. That's so small of a hope to hold on to. Today, what you need to do is step forward. You've heard the words of God speak to your life. You need to step forward and proclaim it. I'm not lost anymore. God has saved me and made me part of His kingdom. Would you stand while they sing us a verse of a song? Today, have you heard His words speak to you? They've spoken to your heart. You know that you need the Lord more than anything else. Why don't you step out today and receive Him as your Lord? I can't tell you how good it is to know that you've been saved by the grace of God. But you can receive it this morning. Jesus will help me. Trust Him today. Come and confess to Him. Confess like that thief did. I deserve to die, but Lord, would you please remember me when thou goest into thy kingdom? You can't do it by yourself. You need the Lord today. You need the Lord. Yes. You need Him this morning. Rob, while you pause for just a minute, let me give you these parting thoughts. This man knew that that day had to be the day. There is no tomorrow. If I don't get the Lord now, if I don't ask Him for forgiveness, and that's what he was asking for, if I don't ask today, there'll be no tomorrow. I have this moment right now. The door has been opened. God has opened the door for you today. Christians this morning that you know you've been saved, but you just wandered away from the cross. Your life, you've allowed things to come in your life that has distracted your focus with Christ. And it can happen to any of us. I ask you today, no matter what it might be upon your heart, why don't you step out? Come back where you first met Him and get things right with God in your own life. Or on this Sunday morning, God has laid upon your heart, that this is where you want to fellowship. This is where you want to work. This is that spot where you feel at home and you want to make it your church. Whatever God has put on your heart, while they sing this last verse, I ask you, today, if not today, when? When will you follow your heart? If not today, when? Tonight, Wednesday night, maybe next Sunday. You're going to keep putting it off until it's too late. Too late. While God speaks to you. Yes. Help them sing this chorus, church. You know it. I must tell Jesus. Yes. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. Burdens alone. Anybody today? Yes. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Amen and amen. How many of you know if the Lord don't help us, there's no help to be found? Amen. He is my hope. He's my only help that I have. You say, well, you have your family, you have the church, and y'all are good. I appreciate every one of you. But you can't do what God can. Don't be offended. You know it's true. God can do more like that than all of us can put together in an eternity. Because He's God. God bless you this morning. Remember our service tonight. As I say so often on Sunday, get you a good lunch and get you a nap. Because I think some of you need a nap this morning. Amen. And come back tonight refreshed and ready to worship the Lord. And be safe out there, would you? God bless you today.